Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our joy comes in the cross. We're not ashamed of the cross of Jesus. So, Lord, today we celebrate new life, life coming from death. Life coming from death in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for dying that we might have life. So, Lord, among us here today, there may be those who still are dead in their sin, still unfamiliar with what you would have and do in their lives. I pray that you'd speak to them today. We thank you for the power of the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Mike. Glad to have you here. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians is where we'll be turning in just a moment. And Ephesians chapter 2, we'll look at one verse in that chapter, and then we'll also look at just a few verses in chapter 4. So these days we are talking about sacred trust. And this morning I want to begin to think about the five chairs that are over to my right and to your left represent the five living generations alive in the world today. And we've looked in past days at the statistics and the percentage and the number of these generations. But today I want us to not look at these chairs as they relate to the world, but I want us to think about these five chairs because they actually make up this church. All five generations, we have five living generations who make up First Baptist Church. And this morning I want to begin to talk to you about the church, but I want to use a different kind of word that we don't always use, but it's a very familiar word to us in our families, our birth families. I want to talk about the church living together in God's household. So I want to talk about God's household, but I want to add to my title. I want to talk to you this morning about the church living together. Those two words are important. Right now, we're living together in God's household. And then I want to add on the end, till at death we part. Till at death we part. So these recent days, we've had a number of our men who've gone to be with Jesus who are part of this household of faith. A part of this household of faith, but now they're not here. So their chair is empty. Their responsibilities go without anybody taking over their responsibilities. And so we have that gap. We have them missing. They're not the only ones. I've been doing funerals here at this church for a number of years since I've been the pastor. The pastor before that did funerals. You see, there is this amazing thing that happens in the family of God. There is this grand addition to the family of God. When we're born again, we come to be a part of the household of God. And then Jesus said, even if you die, you live. So our brothers who've recently gone to be with the Lord, they are living in the joy and the victory of heaven in the presence of Jesus, but they're no longer with us here in this local, earthbound fellowship of God's household. So we've got some things to think about this morning about life and death. So it's my opportunity to bring this up to you. Look, I love you in Jesus, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You only have today to live. You know. So our friend Dave Weitzel out there helping us with the back plowing and taking care of all the tractor needs and duties was planning to be in church at RA's and be here Wednesday night, but that was the end. You only have today. You only have today. So I want to remind you of a saying that I have. I say it to this church all the time. You old people need to listen to me. You young people need to listen to me. You're older today than you've ever been. Now, I know you're thinking, did you go to college to learn that, Pastor Mike? Yes, I did. But I've also lived long enough to realize I'm older today than I've ever been. I need God's wisdom afresh and anew today in my life, not what I got yesterday. As far as I can tell, by the way, you look all much more rested after your extra hour of sleep last night. So maybe we should do this about once a quarter, just move the clock back again. Wouldn't that be great? So you look much more refreshed, more alert during this sermon, and I thank you for that. But the reality is you only have today, and I only have today. So how will we live as God's church today? That's what we want to talk about. You're older today than you've ever been. Boys and girls, you're older today than you've ever been. And if the Lord gives us another day, we grow older until finally our days finish. We finish because God has set and established all of our days. The reason why I want to say that to you is because sometimes we in the church, we get caught up in the culture's idea about death. You know the culture's idea. Why, that new car and that house you've got and all these things you're doing and the busyness of your life, well, that's going to go on forever. It's not going to go on forever, friend. All that stuff you got to do this afternoon, all your busy schedule, places to go, things to do, and people to see. And one day, you'll be gone. So we learned today about the importance. This time we have together is so short. I'm talking to the church now. This time to be together is so short. So when we're together, we have to learn the sacred trust God has given to us as a church in living together. So there are five chairs. All the purple chair young people want the red chair old people to just move out of the way so they can get some stuff done. All the red chair people just wish those purple chair people, maybe those green ones and those yellow ones, would just listen to them a little bit more. After all, they've got all the answers because they're old. We're together here. We're one church, five generations, living people who know Jesus. We are the household of God. So what is it that the Lord wants us to learn? Well, with all that said, let me move quickly to give you a couple of things I want you to see. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. And would you stand, please, in honor of the reading of God's word, and we'll read two passages as I mentioned. Ephesians 2:19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. Listen, this is written to you if you're a part of God's family, if you're born again. You are fellow citizens with the saints, which, by the way, doesn't have anything to do with the United States of America and citizenship here. Our citizenship is in heaven, church. You hear what I'm saying? With the saints, those who have left us in our earthly local fellowships of God's house and are with the Lord Jesus. And you are of, look at verse 19, you are of, you belong to God's household. This word household, this Greek word, simply means your kin. Your kin. You got one father. Born again of one father. We're all kin who are children of God. We're in God's household. Chapter 4, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So now, Lord, give us wisdom to understand your word by the help of the blessed Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So there are 115 million households in the United States. Some single-parent households, some dual-parent households, 115 million households. So in those households, there are multiple generations. Some of those households have two of the chairs. Some of those households have all five of the chairs. Some of them have four of the chairs. All of these U.S. households, and many are represented here. We have the, I stand here representing the Miller household. And I could begin to name names. We've got the Shepherd household. We've got the Vermilia household. We've got the Nash household. I just call out a few of your names, see if you're awake back there. We have the Scott household. We have households here, the Williams household. So all of these households are represented by multiple generations. So is the household of God. And I'm laboring on this point, church, because we must learn that we're all together here. That we as a household of God represent multiple birthed generations in order to do what Jesus has called us to do. Tell the nations, tell the generations about Jesus. So I want you to see first that the church is God's household. Paul says, you belong to God's household. You have your birth family, but if you're born again, we're all kin in God's household. So the church, this portion, this local portion of the great and grand household of God, which is all over this world, which is an amazing thought to think about the awesomeness of the household of God. All of those who believe, Paul calls it one place, the household of faith. We are all God's people, but we're kin. We're kinsmen. Around what has happened inside of us, we've been born again. Our hearts have been changed, and the Holy Spirit of God has changed us and brought us back to life when we were dead in our sins. So the first thing is to remember we're the household of God. But in every household, listen, there are house rules. The boys and girls in here know that there are house rules. They know better than some of us that there are certain things that in the house you're supposed to do. There's a certain way you're supposed to act in the house, and a certain way you're not supposed to act in the house. That's what Paul wants to talk to us about in Ephesians 4. He's talking about our sacred trust to one another to live together as God's household until we die and are separated. So there is a living, local, on earth group of followers of Jesus. And Jesus said, the living and the dying who know Jesus are still one. You see, he said, even if you die, you will live if you believe on me. And our brothers who have recently gone to be with the Lord had believed on Jesus. They're alive. Just as Jesus is alive. And us who are here, though we struggle, though we have difficulties, we live by faith in Jesus. So the church is God's household. What do we learn from Paul in Ephesians 4? Quickly, let me just go over these because I think they're important for us to understand our sacred trust to one another. This is what our Heavenly Father, listen to me, expects His household to do. First of all, God's household walks honorably together. See, what we do together. I mentioned this before. Those chairs, I put those chairs as close as I could get them. There's no gaps between those chairs. We listen and talk about generation gaps and old gaps with the young gaps and all these things. No, I mentioned to you 2 weeks ago that the last verse in the last book of the Old Testament said that in the last days the Spirit of God would come and turn the hearts of fathers toward their children and children toward their fathers. Peter picked up on it in the day of Pentecost and reminded us that that has to do with the Holy Spirit. You see, generation gaps and generation differences and pushing for one generation over another, all are examples of sin and selfishness. One generation doesn't matter to God more than another. That's not what the Bible says. When you come to know Jesus, all the generations matter. When you're a part of the household of God, that left side chair, that old bunch of old timers, and those young timers in the purple chair, and everybody in between, they all matter to God. And everybody at First Baptist Church in this local expression of God's household matter. So what are we supposed to do? Well, we're to walk honorably, listen, together. So look what Paul says. Walk with humility, verse 2. Walk in gentleness. Walk with patience. Show tolerance for one another and do it all in love. So in love, because we are loved people, I am loved by God, so I love others. Didn't we learn that when we were looking at 1 John? Over and over we learned from 1 John when we were having our family talks. When we were listening to our spiritual father, John the Apostle, he said, if you say you love God and you don't love your neighbor, there's a problem. No, loving God means I love my neighbor. You got to love the rest of the kinsmen in the household of God. So that means that the way I treat you and the way we walk together, the house rules start with this. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. You've been called out of this world and out of sin and out of selfishness and out of wickedness. Now, you have died to yourself and, listen, have humility, which means everybody's more important than you. Everybody's more important than you in the household of God. Show gentleness. Gentleness is more than talking softly. Gentleness has to do with consideration. Gentleness is an understanding of where you are and what you're struggling with and what's going on in your life. Gentleness has in it the idea that I understand how to approach you, to help you in Jesus, to love you, to be there for you, to serve you. It's a word that is a beautiful word. Humility and gentleness with patience. Notice how this is constructed as you read your Bible here. With humility and gentleness, then with patience and tolerance. Patience, this word is a word that means to long suffer. So in the household of God, we suffer long with each other and our differences and our personalities and the things that we don't always understand. We tolerate one another in love, in the love of Jesus. We are a tolerant, patient, humble, gentle household. So when people come and they look at the church of Jesus Christ, they see humble, gentle, patient, tolerant people who in the name of the love of God extend their hands to say, how can I help you? So the church is God's household. God's household walks honorably together. Something else. God's household lives united by the Spirit. Now, I've been a Baptist preacher a long time. And I could describe many situations where I've been talking with people about a church and there's been disagreements in the church. See, this is the sacred trust. How are we going to get along and live together until at death we part? Paul says, be diligent to preserve something. Maybe this word preserve isn't a good word. Maybe it's better to say it this way. Make every effort to maintain. That's a little bit more modern for us. So I have a responsibility, a sacred duty, to not only walk humbly, gently, patiently, with tolerance and love for those in the household of God, but I also have a responsibility to diligently maintain something. What is it? Notice carefully, it's not what many times I've heard as a Baptist preacher. When something's going on in the church and there's a disagreement, people will say, oh, you know, we've got to do everything to maintain and preserve the unity of the church. I'm reading my Bible here and it doesn't say the church. It says capital uppercase S. No, we're to maintain the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. So let me remind you, the only reason why God's household even exists is because one day we came to Jesus, those who are a part of God's household, and we confessed our sin. We believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and we were saved. And the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit of God came inside of us to possess us. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit put us together. Putting us together in one place. Here's the way Peter says it. Like spiritual stones in a spiritual house being built together for God's habitation. All of us different. You see, the Holy Spirit, listen, convicts of sin. The Holy Spirit teaches us the Word of God. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts to be used in the household of God. The Holy Spirit demonstrates, because He's in us, possessing us, a different kind of fruitfulness in our life, behavior. We show love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, tenderheartedness. These are called the fruit of the Spirit, the expression, the example of the Holy Spirit of God in the church is seen in the fruit of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God leads us to follow Jesus. Over and over in the book of Acts, you read this phrase, the Holy Spirit said, not Jesus, not God the Father, the Holy Spirit said. And I say to you who are a part of First Baptist Church, living together until death we part means we maintain the unity of the Spirit. We listen and follow the Holy Spirit. If we want revival, we must yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. He will awaken us, He will make us come alive, and He will do His work in us. But it comes from the Holy Spirit, not from any leader, not from any person. But we are united by the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say? You hear the wind, but you can't see it. You have to be born of the Spirit. If you're here this morning and you're afraid to die, here's how you can overcome that. Come to the one who died and lives. Believe on Jesus, and even if you die, you will live. You see, God's people, the household of God, is not afraid to die and not afraid to live, because we live together with humility and gentleness and patience and tolerance and love, preserving and maintaining the unity of the Spirit. You know why? One last thing. Because we have many things in common here. So when you get together for Thanksgiving, there's going to be a lot of reminiscing. It always happens. And we remember things that we've shared in common in our birth households. You have your stories just like we have them in the Miller house. And these things you share in common, because these things you share in common remind you that you are one house. So living together as God's people, living together in God as God's household till at death we part. Remember, we've shared some common things together. We're one body. Not every chair is supposed to have its own church. It's not what the Bible says. There's one body. One body made up of multiple generations, multiple gifts. A hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The eye can't say to the nose, I don't need you. No, we're all put together. So we suffer together. We rejoice together. We are together. That's why when some of ours that we know and love go to be with Jesus and die, it hurts us, because we are one. But we have to take more care to pay attention to our oneness. Listen, not our separateness. That's the way the world works. Divide me off, separate me off, mine's better, my generation's the most important. This is the way. No, no. We're one body. Listen, one Spirit. One Spirit is in all five chairs. Whether you're a 9-year-old or a 90-year-old, the Holy Spirit of God possesses you if you believe in Jesus. Whether you're a 9-year-old or a 90-year-old, you have one hope of your calling, and that is this: Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. There's great hope. Great hope beyond the institutions of the world, the government, and all the rest that may go on. As important as these may be, our hope is come, Lord Jesus. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord. We say, Lord Jesus. No other Lord is supreme to the Lord Jesus. His name is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that He is, listen, Lord, to the glory of God. We serve one Lord. We have this in common. We have one faith. Whether you're 9 years old, I was a 9-year-old boy when I believed on Jesus and confessed Him as my Lord and Savior. Would I know as much as a 90-year-old in knowledge? Of course not. But faith, one faith, and one baptism last week. You saw in this very hour several, a number of our people who stood before you to declare in their baptism their commitment to be disciples. Baptism is not making us, is not converting us, not making us saved people. No, baptism is our declaration of our commitment to be a disciple. And they were baptized, multiple chairs. God's household, church, has to walk honorably with one another. When we don't walk honorably together, we're not preserving or maintaining the unity of the Spirit. See, that's the way Paul connects these. My behavior affects you. So some of the house of God gets together and talks about another part of the house of God. Dishonors God, brings division, listen, and grieves the Holy Spirit. You know, we're talking a lot these days about what God wants to do in America. Listen, here's what the Bible says. Judgment begins at the house of God. Are you listening to me? Judgment begins at the house of God. The house of God. In our relationships, in our attitudes, in our words, in our deeds, toward the rest of the house. One body, one spirit, one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, which leads to one last thing and I'm done. One Father. God's household has one Father. So everybody in the house knows the house rules are set by the Father. And Paul reminds us, one God and Father of all. Are you listening to me? Someone will say to me, Pastor Mike, why did God let that happen to these men? Because their time was up. Because their days were done. Some of us have come this morning. I love you in Jesus. I'm trying to be your pastor. Some of us really don't believe what I'm saying, that you only have so many days. You think if you can just get the right doctor, if medical science will just move along quicker, if you can just get some more education, you'll live longer. You will live to the determined day and hour and month to which God the Father has determined you will live. Are you listening to me, church? I'm preaching the truth this morning. One God and Father of us all. Why did He do that? Why did God allow this to happen? Because the time was done for these recent ones. The time was done for those who came before. When we bury our own out of the household of God, we shouldn't be weeping for them. We should be weeping for the broken and lost of our world who do not know Jesus. There's the trouble. There's the trouble. One Father of us all. We're all kin. Now you know how that goes. You know. You didn't pick your kin folks, did you? Well, you didn't pick your kin folks in the house of God. God picked them. How do you like that? And if God picked them, I think I pretty much ought to line up and love the ones God picked. How about that? Just throwing that in. Our Heavenly Father expects us to live together in our sacred trust, honorably with each other as we walk together through life. And by the way, it's short. Oh, our time's short. You know, I tried to calculate up just in preaching 5 years. You know, you math people can do it. 5 years of my being here in one capacity or another. And the morning services we have, you know, 52 a week, and we don't always all get to come. How few opportunities teachers and preachers have to speak to all God's people and to all God's house. Short. The Bible calls it days. The Bible calls it months. We have one Father who is over us all and through all. Listen to me. I need to listen to the young people because God's working through them. So when I and others of the old people are resistant to hearing the young people, I'm resistant to what God's trying to say. Now, here's the only thing I'd say to the young people. Look, and this is something we ought to do. I really hope in the days ahead, our older and our younger classes and fellowships will find a way to get together. But here's the only thing I ask if you're the younger group. Look, you got to have it before about 6 o'clock in the evening because I'm tired. And I mean, I'm not the only one. We won't be able to stay awake. And you want our full attention. God's working through all the chairs. That's why we suffer and hurt and have pain when someone in the household's chair is empty. Unless Jesus comes again, are you listening to me? One day my chair will be empty, so will yours. He's in all of us. Jesus said a profound thing. He said, talking to his disciples, if you obey me, my Father and I will come and make our home in you. Those are red letter words. But we don't have forever. We only have today. We only have today. Job says something very good that I added today because I wanted to speak to us all because of our burdens and our griefs, rightly so, for those that we've recently lost and how it burdens us. But in Job chapter 14, Job talks about the shortness of life. Let me just read it for the sake of time. Man who is born of woman. If you want to read it later, it's Job 14:1. Man who is born of woman, listen to the Bible, is short-lived and full of turmoil. That's what's going on in the world. Look around. Why? Somebody says, why, they were just here. That's right, and now they're gone. When you drive off this hill today, look at the grass. All flesh is grass. It fades. No matter how much moisture cream you put on your face, or vitamins you take, or doctors you see, we fade. We fade. The grass is fading. Every day we live, we're a little closer to our death. By the way, good news, the Bible says your death day is better than your birthday. Now you can go home and think about that. Some of you don't believe me, go Google it and find out where that's at. The Bible says, since man's days are determined, Job says, they're determined. Man's days are determined. The number of his months is with you, Lord. The number of his months. Broaden it from days to months. And his limits you have set so that he cannot pass. When it's time for me to die, the days are determined, the months are set, and I will die. Unless Jesus comes again, you will die. So living together in God's family starts with us understanding this. You die to live. You die to live. Jesus said, unless you take up your cross and you die to yourself, you cannot be my disciple. So death to self is the way to eternal life. Now, this isn't for anybody else here today. You saying, some of you, well, boy, I wish somebody else had heard this. No, you need to hear this. Don't be one of those foolish people. Like that unwise fool Jesus talked about. He built his barns. He was having a great harvest. Everything was going wonderful. He built some more. He had a building project. He was busy. And then the voice came, you fool. Today your soul is required of you. Whose will these things be? Yep. So our friends have gone to be with Jesus who are part of this household, First Baptist Church. And we grieve that and we sorrow in it. They affected multiple generations because that's what we do. These men affected younger generations than them. They affected older than them. Because that's what we do together. We live together. It's our sacred trust. Honoring one another. Living with humility toward each other in gentleness and patience and tolerance in our love. And maintaining, listen, the Holy Spirit's ability to work among us because we don't block it and grieve Him so that He might we might be reminded that we share all these things in common as God's family, so that the Heavenly Father would be honored and glorified. So we live together in order to honor and glorify Jesus. So Paul said, "Now to him who is able to do far abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these dear people who make up the household of God at First Baptist Church, Dixon. So, Lord, today in our grief for our loss of our brothers, we are reminded of the shortness of our time together. Forgive us when we have not walked honorably together. Forgive us when we have not maintained the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. Forgive us when we have forgotten all the things that we share in common. Heavenly Father, forgive us when we forget that you are over us all. You are in us and you work through us. Oh, may we learn to love each other, no matter our age, no matter the generation. That is our sacred trust. So if you're here this morning and you need to know Jesus, perhaps you're here and you're afraid to die. I ask this question to people all the time when I talk to them about their soul. If you're to die today, are you certain, 100% certain, that you'd go to heaven? If you die today, it could happen. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Well, you got to be ready to live for Jesus, and you got to be ready to die for Jesus. That's the way followers of Jesus exist, living and dying for Jesus. So if you're here and you need to join this church, a number of people through the days, all through these years, have come to be a part of this expression of God's household right here at First Dixon. So maybe this is your place. Maybe the Holy Spirit is leading you to come here. You're a born-again believer. Your family, you know this is the place God wants you. Well, come take one of the pastors. Say, look, this is what I need to do today. I need to put my life here to count for God in this place with these others. So whatever public decision you need to make, don't be afraid. Jesus said for you to come. Come to me and I'll give you rest. Heavenly Father, bless now our invitation. Speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? And as we stand, we sing this simple song, Jesus is the Answer. If you need to come on right now.